He's with Wyo Sports and the Laramie Boomerang. He's also fighting off illness like the Wyoming football team, Robert Gagliardi. It's running rampant over there. What are you guys doing?
I don't know, man, but it's running rampant, and it knocked me out for a good part of last week, and still trying to recover a little bit this week. But man, it's nuts over here. And Craig Bull even said it last week. He goes, 37 years of being a college coach, he's never quite seen anything like this that's been going around his team. I think it's on the tail end of things, but even the coach said he's not seen anything quite like this.
So you were, and we're going to do our winners and losers at the end of this interview, Gag. So maybe in the back of your mind while you're answering questions or I'm asking, think about what you got. But anyways, you were there at the Dick Cheney Alumni Field and saw the Cowboys go through a 70-play scrimmage. What came out of that? It seemed like the offense got off to a hot start. The defense kind of picked its way back up. What did you see from the scrimmage?
You know, I thought for the most part that the offense had its way against the defense. You know, there were times, you know, when they started out, you know, if they started at the 30 or 35 or whatever, it was ones versus ones, and then they'd mix in the twos, and then they'd go back to the ones and stuff. You know, I thought the number one offense had the better day over the number one defense, and I don't know if that's necessarily a sign that the one offense is that much better or the one defense is going to struggle that much. I think when you've got a quarterback like Josh Allen, that may happen. But I thought the defense also did some decent things. You know, they are going to mix coverages, and I think that's going to that could possibly help this group. You know, I thought Allen had pretty good command of the offense. I thought his receivers caught the ball well. I thought, you know, James Price had a couple of touchdowns, and you know, could be a viable threat. You know, Austin Conway did his thing. I thought C.J. Johnson, excuse me, looked good at times, and I thought the tight ends all caught the ball well, and I know that was a concern of Craig Bowles early in spring of them not maybe catching it as well early on, but they certainly caught it well against in this scrimmage. But I thought it was good. I like these running backs. You know, there were glimpses of all three of them, Kellen Overstreet, Milo Hall, and Nico Evans doing some good things. There was a run there in the scrimmage where Overstreet took it at the 25-yard line, and he got knocked out at the one, but he, you know, got through the hole. He used a little bit of power to get to knock over a guy and then almost outrun everyone to the end zone. I'm not saying Kellen Overstreet's the next Brian Hill, but what he did on that run reminded me a lot of what Brian Hill did. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to be one guy. I think it's going to be more like two guys and maybe sometimes even three. I think the running backs are going to be fine in this offense. So, you know, I didn't see anything necessarily horribly glaringly bad from the defense. Just didn't see a lot of stuff, you know, that, you know, they didn't force any turnovers. You know, Josh Allen and Nick Smith were wearing blue, but the other two walk-on quarterbacks were live, so they let them tackle them. Poor guys. I don't know how they drew the short end of the stick, but, you know, Sidney Malulu did some good things at the nose. You know, Logan Wilson only played 21 plays at middle linebacker. That was by design. I think they wanted to get other guys some looks there. I think Cash Malua at the will, replacing Wilson's spot last year, I think he's going to be fine. You know, I think things look pretty decent. I'm not ready to anoint them as the Mountain Division champions again, but I'm not ready to say that it's going to be a struggle with some of the people they lost last year. It's just, you know, a spring scrimmage going against each other, and they know each other pretty well, so encouraged by a lot of things and not overly discouraged by stuff maybe I didn't see, I guess.
I want to switch gears a little bit, Gags, as you really covered the scrimmage part of it well. Steve Fisher going to retire. I think we all knew it was going to happen sooner or later. I mean, 72 years old, he's getting up there. But right now, the way Mountain West basketball looks, you've got UNLV is just a mess. It's a dumpster fire. New Mexico's not far off because they got players leaving left and right, and they got their top three candidates for their head coach turned them down. And now this at San Diego State, which I don't think with Brian Dutcher, they're not going to be in dire straits, but it's going to be different if somebody's going to strike now in the Mountain West because, let's face it, it's a one-bid league until something changes. I mean, might as well be Wyoming. This is a golden opportunity for Wyoming to really parlay that CBI championship into more with the way the Mountain West is kind of going right now.
Well, it could be, and you know, and you're right. It doesn't bode well for the league as itself because, like it or not, you know, UNLV, New Mexico, and San Diego State are kind of the power teams of this league,
exactly. At least,
name wise or perception wise, and you know, but I guess the San Diego State thing is a little surprising just in the fact of why is Steve Fisher doing this now?
Right.
Why didn't he just announce it when the season ended, or even a week after the season, or something like that? Now, look. Brian Dutcher was the coach in waiting since 2011. You know, this wasn't just a knee-jerk thing to say, well, we'll just hire the top assistant. I mean, this was planned a long time ago. You know, I wouldn't be too concerned with San Diego State because Dutcher and Fisher have been, you know, connected at the hip forever, and I think that transition will be seamless. It'll be interesting to see what kind of new things that Dutcher wants to implement himself, but, you know, the thing in New Mexico is just an absolute mess. I mean, they can't, you know, how many finalists did they have? And you know, I think even a couple people have turned it down twice,
yeah,
or something.
It's the Spurs guy did, yeah.
It goes back to me as, look, I know New Mexico has a good program, and I know they got one of the more venerable arenas in the country to draw to. But the grandeur of their program, at least in the perception of maybe the school and especially their fans, is coming full circle now because no one wants this job. I mean, if it's that great of a program, this thing would have been filled a long time ago, or maybe they wouldn't have, you know, or they would have gotten rid of Neil sooner, and maybe this wouldn't be such a circus. But this is it's a mess, and you know, whether it's Wyoming or if Nevada keeps things going, because they were able to keep Eric Musselman and sign him to an extension, or whoever else, you know, maybe the going's good to make a run at a title. You know, with a lot of teams in transition, it's as good a time as any. So you're right. If you're a Wyoming or anyone else, maybe you need to strike when the striking's good, because on the surface, the striking is very good right now.
One more thing, Gags, before we get to our winners and losers. What'd you make of the Mountain West restructuring, how it's going to allocate the money for television revenue for football, where everybody but Hawaii is getting $1.1 million and Boise State gets the $1.8 million bonus, so they'll have $2.9 million, which is about more than half a million that what they averaged when the TV bonuses and all that stuff were factored in. How do you, and the other schools are going to maybe take a little bit less depending on who was on it, but it's going to mean the same amount for everybody, even though they didn't play Boise State or play on ESPN or CBS. What did you make of that change?
Not surprised, because I think it was, you know, now short term it kind of hurts Wyoming because Wyoming was an ESPN favorite, and
right,
the way things were trending, I mean, the six games on ESPN networks, I'm not saying all those would have been on ESPN or ESPN2, but it is more fair because especially for a lot of the West Division teams, because they're not, you know, they're not Boise State. Now, the reason why this was made this way is to keep Boise State in the league. This was all conceived when Boise threatened to leave. They said, all right, if you stay, this is how we're going to do this, and you're going to get more money and stuff. So they're catering to Boise State. Okay, fine. I don't like it. I think it should all be fair or as equitable as possible, but it won't be that way. I don't like it from that standpoint of it, but I like it from the fact where it's more fair, and as Tom Berman told me, at least now they can budget. You know, they can write a number down in their budget, and they know they'll hit it, because there's been times where they've rolled the dice and we're hoping, okay, you know, they didn't maybe go crazy with their budgeting, but thinking, you know, we get on one of these, we'll be okay, and we'll budget this amount. Well, now they know. So from that standpoint, I like it. The other standpoint, the Boise's getting so much more, I don't, because when was the last time they won a league championship?
Was it their only one was 2 years ago, right?
Right. So it's not, you know,
I know they're Boise
and they're the, you know, this and that, but it's not like they've just been, you know, they haven't been rolling through this league either. So I don't like that. I don't like that part of it.
All right, winners and losers time, Gags. What do you got for me?
Well,
or do you want me to go first so you can think?
No, I'll go. Okay. I think winner, and you know, like him or not, seeing Sergio Garcia win in the Masters yesterday was cool. You know, I know he's, you know, came out when Tiger was, and he was brash, and a lot of people didn't like him, but to see him come back and just some of the history on the, you know, Seve Ballesteros' 60th birthday would have been, and that was just kind of cool. That was fun golf to watch. So for him to win the Masters like that, that was cool. And loser, boy, I got so many things I want to say, but it's not appropriate on the radio, but we won't, so I won't. Loser, let's see. Well, not that they're true losers, but kind of American golf, because the names of American golf, Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler and all these guys are right there, and on the last day of the Masters, man, they did nothing. I mean, they weren't even a talking point until their last hole to say, oh, look how they finished that. You know, look, they're not losers, but for American golf, you know, in your major at Augusta, how a lot of them performed this week, that wasn't very good. So I guess I'll blanket it and say American golf on as my loser.
My winner is Russell Westbrook, broke the triple-double record. And not only in Denver yesterday, not only that, he rallied his team from like down 14 in the fourth quarter and hit like a 35, 40-foot shot at the buzzer to beat Denver, booting them from any possible playoff. He had 50 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 assists as he broke Oscar Robertson's 50-plus-year-old record for most triple-doubles in a season. He will average a triple-double this year. My loser, I'm going to say it. I don't know whether they're the losers or not, or Sergio. I don't know where I'm saying, but here's my situation. How many people heckled Sergio Garcia all the time? I mean, he was not a fan favorite of American golf fans, correct?
That's fair.
I think that's a fair statement. Yet, people wanted him to win. I'm like, what is going on? You hated this guy, heckled him at U.S. Opens for his waggles and taking his time. He spits in cups. He's very, you know, he does all sort, you know, in the hole and everything. I mean, he was a miserable person to follow. And now we're basking in the glow. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the fans that were there. They wanted him to win. I'm like, come on, man. Where's it gonna be? Where do your allegiances lie? You gotta boo him. Boo him off the course. Get into his head. I didn't want to see Sergio win. I didn't want to see Justin Rose win either. But
if it was Sergio from 5-10 years ago, yeah, I see that. I do think, you know, he's 37 years old, and I'm not saying he's the best human being on the face of the planet. But the Sergio you described was Sergio from a while ago. I don't think he's the same guy now. I mean,
he's still booing.
Again, I'm not saying I'm not
heckling.
Yeah, but then that goes back to my point. Who are they going to cheer for? Because all the other Americans were out of it by the back nine.
But maybe then Justin Rose walks away with it. That's
well,
who you
then maybe.
Maybe.
There you go.
Sergio.
You go.
Gags, always good to hear from you, man. Take it easy.
All right. See you later, man.
There you go. Robert.